the CEO and president of Northlands, Tim Reed, joins us once again. Tim, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, Tim, first of all, our condolences. I know we were going to do this last week, but unfortunately you had to attend a funeral, so our condolences for that. We're happy you can make time before your holidays today. I guess the first question, I read an article, you had made some comments about National Lacrosse League and expansion. We had the commissioner on, and he had mentioned that obviously there had been some interest already from Edmonton, and said that they wouldn't look at a facility that had fewer than 6,000 seats that they have in Langley. So would you play at Rexall Place, or would you guys have a different option long term?
I think obviously we've got some options around the future of Rexall Place. Now, certainly the board of directors have given clear mandate to us administration that they don't want to compete with the downtown arena. In fact, they want to complement it. So wherever we land with the future of Rexall Place, and that decision is coming forward to the public, we believe, this fall. The board has given us very, very clear direction as administration to work a couple models. But we think we have other options on the campus in terms of housing an NLL franchise. And quite frankly, we think that it's really about coming back to the city of Edmonton, that there's interest, and having the right ownership model. And we think that there's interested parties and there's a potential for partnership.
Did Northlands, I know you dealt with Bruce Irvin and you guys had offered them 1 year lease extension. Did you ever consider purchasing that team from them? Did you guys ever talk about buying the team?
It's not really the role that we want to be in, to be honest. However, certainly as a venue, they provided us 9 quality dates and a great fan base that we thought was important to us. So no, we didn't actually have the conversation with Bruce about buying it, quite frankly, because we didn't have a sense that it was up for sale. But we did reach out to them a number of opportunities, trying to get them to come to the table with a long-term plan, because we thought we might have an option around our Hall D property at Northlands that would provide some serious consideration for them.
At Hall D's the Agricom,
yeah,
correct? Okay.
Formerly known as the Agricom, and I guess currently known as the Agricom, depending on what your background is.
Yeah, for sure. And now the seating capacity there, you'd obviously would have had to extend that, right? Because I think right now it's like 3,500, give or take?
It is, and our board of directors have asked us to look at that as filling that mid-size void that we have in the current Edmonton market, that a lot of people during our arena feedback came back and said, we need a mid-size facility that complements the downtown and some of the other performance venues in the city. And so we've been really looking at Hall D as a possibility.
Now, Tim, you mentioned, you know, ownership isn't something that Northlands would look at. So if you were talking about NLL expansion, would that be a partnership with, like, the Edmonton Oilers Group or somebody else to be the owner and you just be the facilitator?
Well, I really think that a lot of ways, whether it's the Edmonton Oilers, whether it's somebody else, I think it's a supply and demand opportunity. By putting a product like NLL in the right environment, the right atmosphere, something that creates a great game experience, we think it could be something special. And then hopefully you end up growing it to a scenario where it is a 12, 14, 16,000 seat experience and you can move it to the downtown arena.
You dealt with Urban over the years. What was your experience dealing with him?
I dealt with him in a number of capacities before I took on the role at Northlands, and then I certainly dealt with him in other opportunities. And I think he's a quality individual. I think he's somebody that cared passionately about a sports franchise. To his credit, I think he was very, very influential in the city of Edmonton. And quite frankly, I think he was very invested in the city of Edmonton. And so my dealings with him were quite positive. I think when it came down to the point where he'd made the decision he was going to move the team, unfortunately, we couldn't get him in a room to have a conversation. And so that was disappointing. But quite frankly, I think he'd made his mind up. And as an owner of a franchise, it's a business proposition. And he made the best business decision that he thought was appropriate.
I'm sure you've looked around the league and you see teams in Calgary and Buffalo and, you know, they're playing in major facilities. When you have your plan, would it possibly include having, you know, a partnership with the OEG where maybe you plan to build it where you think, okay, we want to max out supply and demand at the at Hall D, as you call it, Agricom, and then move over to the new facility? Has there been any conversations with the Oilers that you guys could partner up at all, or with OEG, I should say?
I would suggest that there hasn't been anything specific to lacrosse, but what we have said often in our conversations has been, we need to make sure that we complement each other's facilities, and I think there's a genuine desire to do that on behalf of Northlands, and I think, quite frankly, there's a genuine desire on behalf of OEG to do that. So I think you could look at a model where you played games here, and then you looked at your peak games or your playoff games could complement downtown. Ultimately, I think where we've recognized is once you cross that 5 or 6,000 seat threshold, the product should be downtown, and we should focus our energies on supporting the downtown arena and complementing them.
Okay. Tim Reed, president and CEO of Northlands, joins us. Tim, we got a lot of people wondering, you've hosted the CFR for decades in Edmonton. Rexall Place, after 2017, from what I understand, will be downsized to a few different options. So it won't host CFR, correct?
The intent right now is that we wouldn't be in a position to compete above, 5,000 or 7,000 seats, and that's just not enough for CFR. So we'll fulfill our contractual obligations, and then we'll do everything we possibly can to make sure that CFR stays in the city of Edmonton and to support it staying here. But it probably won't happen at Rexall Place.
Now, the outside of the hosting, it was more so, a lot of people are like, well, yeah, you could obviously put it into the new arena downtown. It'd be great, except that, it's the holding stalls for the animals that's a concern, correct? Like where you would house them all.
Yeah, and for us, during Farm for International and CFR, we have anywhere from 1,200 to 1,600 animals on site. And so we believe that animal welfare and animal care really has to be of the highest priority. And so we think that there might be a role for Northlands to play if you were to see the CFR make its way downtown. Quite frankly, we think that it should stay in Edmonton. It's the right city, and the city embraces it and celebrates it.
Yeah.
So we think that there's a role for Northlands to play. And whether that's as a good partner or simply a place to stage animals and make sure that their welfare is in place, as an agriculture society, animal welfare is very important to us.
Tim, there was some talk and whispers about expansion or renovations to the track. What's happening there?
Well, right now, I think what we've recognized is the track offers a great property. Certainly, the funding model is up for review and renewal, and so we're sensitive to what's going to happen with the existing contract agreement between HRA and the provincial government. It's still a very viable business entity for us. What we have recognized is there's a large segment of land in the infield that is grossly underutilized. Some of the best green space in the city of Edmonton, we believe, is the infield of the racetrack. And we're going to focus on how can we program that, how can we gain access to that, because what we've recognized is that that can be a gathering place from anywhere from 50 to 100,000 people, depending on what we did with it.
Wow. So are you like a concert venue, or what are we thinking?
Well, as we talk about festivals, we look at K-Days, and we talk about how we can grow K-Days going forward. One of our limitations has always been space. But if we can get access to that infield, which is a great grass area, backfill a few ponds, you actually have a great receiving point for a lot of people.
Speaking of K-Days, I noticed there was an article about since 2005, and when you changed it to, not you specifically, but when they changed the name, the numbers dipped, and now that you've gone back to K-Days, the numbers have come up. Is it that simple that it's the name change, or what's been the resurgence in K-Days attendance the last few years?
Having not lived the name changes, I don't think it's actually the name change. I think the name change is something that really compares to our identity. I would say the biggest success that we've been able to achieve is we've done some unique things with price points, but most importantly, we've provided great entertainment. We started to recognize that the gate traffic is directly related to the type of entertainment that we put on stage. And really, the K-Days experience comes down to a few really key elements: the quality of the midway, the quality of the food service options that are on campus, and then lastly, the quality of the entertainment that we put on stage. And so coming out of this, what we're going to really focus on is making sure that the music experience that we have at K-Days is enhanced even further than it is today.
My very first concert was at K-Days.
And who was it?
The Beach Boys, actually, in 1986.
You would be surprised at how many people have told me about that concert and how important music is at K-Days.
That's why I was not really a big music guy, but I do remember that one vividly. It was quite funny for me. So, and Beach Boys, a big band, man. Like that back days, they were like, they were world renowned. So, you've had the history of bringing in big bands for many decades to that event, and great to hear that it'll continue. It seems, Tim, talking to you since you took over, and I know this was pre-you, that there seemed to be a little bit of an adversarial relationship somewhat between Northlands and OEG when there was talking about the facility, and it seems like you're going to try to collaborate to work together rather than butt heads. Is that a safe assumption?
Without question. I think our focus is, we as Northlands realized that certainly we were going into a competitive environment with two arenas. And I think in my tenure, we've been able to sit back and say the decision's done on the downtown arena. And it's time that we stop fighting about it and find our own way forward as Northlands. And I think we got a great plan. and we're anxious to share it with people this fall.
What, for hockey fans going to Rexall, and I know that, Northlands doesn't have anything to do with the game day presentation or anything, but this will be the last season of NHL hockey and likely the Oil Kings as well and such. What's the plan for 2017? Like, will you get more concerts? Or because I know you don't want to compete with that. What happens that final year when hockey's no longer there?
I actually will bring it back to the original reason for a call. I think the discussion around the future of NLL, you know, if anything was going to happen in the city of Edmonton, I think it would likely happen in 2017. And so I think if there was a future for NLL happening in 2017, that may change the timelines of around any redevelopment at Rexall Place. Our intent, though, would be to finish out the 2016 year with Rexall Place looking and feeling as it is today.
Okay.
And then be in a position to redevelop if that was the decision of not only our board, but certainly anything of that magnitude would have to go back to Mayor and Council and the general public. So if we're really looking at 2017 being a bit of that bridge year, depending on construction on campus. So it could look the same, or it could be under significant renovations by that point.
And you are down to two kind of final offers that you will present to the board, is that correct?
Yeah. So we certainly have a plan on repurposing the facility. And I think to the credit of the board, that has been their focus. I think they've found an outcome that will benefit the city of Edmonton as was one of the drivers and allow us to play a significant role in honoring the tradition that was in that facility. I think that's what we're going to push. And if that isn't accepted by Mayor and Council and that isn't accepted and celebrated by the public, then our alternative will be to demolish the building, most likely.
So demolish it. And I know the big announcement, so fans will hear, Edmontonians will hear this in October. Is that when it will be made public?
Yeah, October, November. So we have a board meeting where the board has asked us to bring this forward, and our commitment has always been this fall and into Q4 that we would bring back a full site redevelopment strategy for Northlands. And I think we're well on our way to doing that.
Could we see something similar to what's happened in Maple Leaf Gardens?
You could. I think you know, something that's a bit of a blend of performance facility as well as multi-use community facility, that type of thing. It's definitely something the board's been exploring.
Yeah, well, the fact that it's on the LRT line is a big advantage for people to get there for sure. So,
and I think the other part of it is a real driver that we took out of the arena committee was it's not necessarily the business model that's leaving to go downtown. It's the fact that that brings great volume to the site. And when you take 1.3 to 1.6 million visits a year away from this area of northeastern Edmonton, you change the way that the community interacts. And we really believe that we need to replace that volume of business because, quite frankly, otherwise it'll change the way this neighborhood looks.
Tim, I really appreciate the rundown. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day.